Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Hello, my name is Volodymyr Omelyan. I'm a former Minister of Infrastructure of Ukraine, now a Captain of Armed Forces of Ukraine. The man who brought low cost to Ukraine right now intercepts Russian combat jets.
My name is Wojciech Przybylski, and I encourage you to listen to my conversation with Volodymyr Omelyan, former Minister of Infrastructure who turned out to be a soldier fighting in the trenches of Bakhmut and dreaming of Ukrainian and European renaissance.
Volodymyr, welcome to the show. Welcome to this podcast.
Thank you, Wojciech, and thank you for inviting me. It's a great honor for me to be with you and all our friends live.
We have this special moment between your active duty while you're preparing in the army for the next stage of the engagement. And also we're very grateful for you, to you personally and the Ukrainian army for defending not only Ukraine, but defending Europe from the potential further conflict, which could otherwise go on. But there are obvious costs. And as a former Minister of Infrastructure, focusing on development of Ukraine, I must start with asking you this difficult question. What is your estimate of the destruction of Ukrainian infrastructure? How deeply damaged Ukraine is in terms of its vital infrastructure for the further development or rebuilding even Ukraine? So what are the elements to rebuild Ukraine further from?
My great hope that after the victory we will talk about renaissance of Ukraine, not only rebuilding, because yes, we lost a lot of infrastructure, we lost a lot of it in our economy, but also in a lot of Ukrainian lives. It's very difficult to estimate, because starting point, what shall we rebuild? Soviet type of infrastructure. It will cost dozens of billions. Or we build brand new one and trying to make a common jump, because it's not only about Ukraine, but it's about the region. Whether the region will become a real breakthrough and high-tech for whole Europe, or it will be still place of getting resources, some human power, and maybe some brains, not only grains, to feed the West. I definitely choose the path that we should scrupulously calculate what kind of losses Russia caused by this big war, and they should pay every cent of that bill. But it's common task, not only for Ukrainians, but for Poles as well, as I regard a very friendly nation, whatever it was in the past and whatever future prepares for us. But we should be together to build brand new country, to secure the whole Europe, and definitely to develop the economy of the region itself.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about practical elements of the Ukrainian advantage of the future renaissance of Ukraine in Europe. I have two questions, but one is about connectivity. One connects to the road infrastructure, transportation, logistics, without which the further buildup is impossible. And the second question, very much related, is about your words also about Ukraine's role in the region, in what I understand you mean by the Central Eastern Europe. But let's start with the first one. What are advantages and disadvantages of the current infrastructure, road transportation infrastructure in Ukraine? What to see as new development paths for Ukraine, in order to make this dream of Ukrainian renaissance become a reality?
You know, before this war, which actually started not in 2022, but in 2014, Ukraine was always considered among Ukrainians, including as a great transit state between East and West. Definitely this concept should be revised. And this is what we started to do in 2016, building GO highway to connect Gdansk and Odessa, looking seriously into developing of our different types of logistics chains between Ukraine and European Union, opening skies for low cost just to ease the flow of passengers and goods both directions. And this is the path we should follow after the war as well. I don't think that there is still a great potential for Silkway to connect China through Russia, Belarus, or Ukraine with European Union. I do not think that it's a still great potential to trade with Russia after the war, even if Russia remains, there will be a lot of small Russias in the eastern part of Europe and Asia. But definitely Ukraine should be connected via logistic chains first of all, and then economy will come, and then we can easily talk about innovations, because innovations start with good logistics. When any kind of business of SMEs, of great companies can easily come to new place within 2, maximum 3 hours to check the place and to say, okay, that's great. It's a new venue for my, and my opinion, concept of transit state should be revised. New logistics chains should be proposed for the public, for internal use in Ukraine, but also for external use. And it should be the same approach approved by Ukraine, approved by Poland, approved by European Union, by our Western allies. So this is the place of Ukraine we see in the world production chain. And all are happy, almost happy, because it's very difficult in business to say that everybody will be happy, but almost happy. And this is the path we should proceed. And I think it's a great future for that.
How would you meet the challenge of instability on these trade routes? If Ukraine is the bridge between East and West, and in the vision that you just spoke of, it seems that the East would be highly volatile region, full of internal conflicts and divisions. Don't you think this is challenging for that kind of connectivity between East and West?
Absolutely is, but still we have a good, very good experience in the past dealing with such problems. When the Russian Empire fell and then the Soviet Union collapsed, it was always a challenge. What will come next? But the real life has proven that nothing serious or unacceptable will come out. And there will be always a possibility to find new reality and to establish new links with newly emerging states on the territory of existing Russia. It's a very common expression in Ukraine that let's do Russia little or small again. And I think it could be kind of motto of this war, because it's not only of independence of Ukraine, or it's not only about security of Europe. It's also about deleting the permanent threat coming from the East towards Europe. And I think this is the most important lesson we should conclude in this war, that stability and security is possible on eastern borders of Europe. And Ukrainians pay their lives in everyday fights to make it true.
Yes, and again, I'll stress that not only Poland, but Central Europe and actually all of Europe is so grateful to the Ukrainians who fight, like yourself, in the army, but also all the society that supports the army, and because of which the rest of Europe may undergo some tensions, but do not pay ultimate sacrifice and price for the liberty on the continent. Now, my second part of the question related to infrastructure, I wanted to touch upon the connectivity with Central Eastern Europe, because as you build the vision of Renaissance for Ukraine, what's in it for us, for Central Europeans, other countries, Poland, but also Slovakia, Romania, Hungary, immediate neighbors of Ukraine, in terms of the potential? Any pragmatic proposition needs to take into account, as you, I'm sure you know better than I do, the win-win situation. Some win bigger, some win smaller, but still, what are the prospects that should attract Central Europeans to this vision?
Answer is very simple. Every great success starts with resources, and if we check the history of any country in the world, it was like a starting point for them. What can you produce and export? In case of Ukraine, we are mainly focused on grains or agriculture, but this is the only small part of great future to come. It's also about mineral resources. For example, recently I was very happy to hear that one of the largest Ukrainian company signed a deal with US one to produce titanium in Ukraine. Maybe I regret that it's not Polish, but US company, but still I believe there are a lot of possibility for joint venture for Polish companies to come, not to wait until the war is over, because preparation period takes a lot of time as well. It might take 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Why not to start right now? Second issue, if you have good innovation production of some ore or even some materials for further development and exports, you should think about logistics. How you will transport all those goods to the main destination points. And answers are very simple. By sea, because before the war, sea transportation was almost 70% of all export and import into Ukraine and out of Ukraine. And second issue is to develop our railway supply. I feel sorry that I do not see this vision coming from Brussels or from Kyiv these days. But development of railway network will definitely boom the region. And it will be great breakthrough to build new railway network in Ukraine, Poland, with rail European gauge system to transport passengers over day and containers overnight. If we see into the European business those years or US business, it's all about speed. Mainly, you are ready to pay double, triple price. But you need to deliver fast. This is the mentality of consumers. If you click on the button and you order something on internet, you want to have it tomorrow morning in your house. If we invest into railways right now, it could be different type of investments, private money, public money, concession, loans. But if we do it wisely and get a fast connection between Warsaw and Kyiv, between Kyiv and Odessa, Kyiv and Kharkiv, Dnipro, and other destinations, it's a great business story, and definitely it's another advantage for investors to invest, because they know that they not only produce, but also make good business by selling it to the customers somewhere in Western Europe or overseas. And I think this is the best answer for all of us, that look into other possible fields of cooperation. Do not consider traditional ones as agriculture, IT, or oil production. Think differently. Think about innovations. Actually, innovations, it's a main agent for Western countries to become successful ones. Innovations are the best key to Polish success. And the same will be in Ukraine. And definitely it's highly dependable on good logistics, good infrastructure view, including digital infrastructure, and same norms and principles for European Union and Ukraine. I would say it's another pillar that should be taken very seriously in Ukraine after the war and during the war actually as well, that if you want to have allies and partners in the West, you should act and behave as your allies. And there is a very good expression I personally very love, that in Rome do as Romans do.
But this is exactly the point where I ask, when I need to ask you, what about the questions about transparency and corruption? Because in the past, Ukraine has had a track record that indicated that a lot of this investment were not going forward. We know this story also from many other Central Eastern European countries. And there was progress at the same time. And even the progress, I know, took place during the difficult years since 2014 when Russia took the first step towards invasion on Ukraine. But now, how would you defend the case that this is money well spent and the investment in the infrastructure in Ukraine today and in the near future is secure enough from the normative point of view, from this Rome-like metaphor, you know, that we keep a standard that is compatible in Ukraine and across EU in terms of transparency and corruption.
I hope that we all learn the lesson of Afghanistan and Iraq. And actually, when I talk to my European colleagues from Brussels, they always stress that they do not want repeat of the story in Ukraine. Plus, there are huge problems not only in Ukraine, but also even some EU member states. And so you know what I'm talking about. Frankly saying, I'm very unhappy with corruption in Ukraine. And only status of war makes me silent and not raising this point very highly on my agenda. Because corruption case can split the nation, and corruption case can easily ruin Ukrainian leading power right now. But on the other hand, we shall not be silent. First step, what is already done by our European and US friends, they will never give money in cash, as many Ukrainians dreamed of. Give us cash and we will handle the situation. No way. Money will be supervised by some big organizations or by big companies. It's not the best solution, frankly saying, because I met some big companies also happily welcoming corruption in the past. But still, it's a possibility to implement the same norms and standards in Ukraine as we have in the West. Second option, I hope that after the war, it will be great talk in Ukraine, what's going on with our institution and what's going on with our political leadership. Because even now, when we are fighting for our freedom and independence, there are a lot of crooks that simply enjoying their prosperous life and money getting from nowhere. And it's not fair, and it should be prosecuted. And I hope that this million of Ukrainian civil citizens, which become by chance being soldiers, will never give up this case and will force society to tackle corruption in a very serious way. And third, but not the last, it's about strong institutions. If society will finally understand that public figures should be responsible for their reforms, and if they promise to nation the agenda and do not fulfill it and simply make it as a cover phase to do business as usual, I think it will be great chance for all of us to select and elect right public figures and right leadership, including civil servants. It might work, because in 2016, 2019, when I was a Minister of Infrastructure, we've got a company of so-called reformers, and we were united by joint approaches, by joint values, and we were able to make a huge progress in many areas. And it was even funny to watch sometimes that we were united in such a kind of club, and we met on monthly basis just to discuss common challenges and common approaches. What should we do united? And in 90% of cases, it was success. I hope the same approach will be chosen this time when after the war, professional government will be selected, and there will be responsible political parties for Ukraine. Because many political leaders should finally realize that their handling Russia's case resulted into war. That one of the kind of argument for Russia to attack was very weak political leadership in Ukraine. And they simply use the momentum. It's not, it was not the main point for them to attack, but it was among the points that, okay, let's hit, they are weak, let's hit them.
We cannot omit the question also of energy. And I asked you the question already before about this, what partners can gain from Ukrainian revival, renaissance, especially partners in Central Eastern Europe. Now, the worry that I might find specifically present in Poland is that Ukraine will be rebuilding on much greener and cheaper energy resource in comparison to Poland, which is too much fossil fuel dependent. And Ukraine is actually a powerhouse of nuclear. What are the elements of, or even lessons so far in thinking through this perspective and this lens? Naturally, Ukraine is a resourceful country in this respect, but how would you define Ukraine Central European benefit from the point of view of this infrastructure and energy connectivity?
Thank you. It's a very important question because it's a core for economy. What kind of resources and what is the price of resources you use to produce something and then to export? It's a bad thing to have a war, but on the other hand, war is also a chance to rebuild yourself and to rebuild your country, because you have invest a lot of money to upgrade something. So if you have production designed and implemented in mid of 20th century, and to make a brand new one, you should find you should start from ground zero. In case of Ukraine, unfortunately, it's already possible. And all those factories constructed in Soviet times are ruined totally right now. And definitely we are still full of resources, but we should think about green production and green production in energy. Personally, I have a great sympathy toward solar, wind, and all other alternative sources of energy. But in reality, I believe it will be about nuclear power. Yes, it's still dangerous. It still makes some country unhappy. But at this stage, it's the only possibility to produce the cheapest and, frankly saying, also green energy in the world, especially if we get away from Russian type of nuclear power plant and to focus on new types of mobile nuclear power plants, which are designed in the United States and sometimes in Europe right now, it could be very good outcome for all of us. Concerning gas and oil, we will still be dependent, but personally I'm very happy with electric vehicles movement. I was among the first ministers in Europe to put it on my flag, and I still remember times when my German colleagues was laughing at me in 2016 when I was talking patiently about EVs, and he told me, oh, come on, producers of Mercedes or BMW will never go into that niche. It's so small and unlikely to happen. He was wrong and I was right. And I think that electrical grids, so this is what will connect all people. And what actually talking about infrastructure, it's also about electricity and electrical grid. And right on the eve of war, we were connected to European Union. And I think it's a great support and possibility for all of us.
On the day the war started, Ukraine has disconnected from the Russian power grid and connected first temporarily for the EU power grid, which then translated to a situation in which Ukraine in the first months of the war was also exporting energy to Central European countries. Initially, this export went to Slovakia, Romania, I'm not sure about Hungary. I think one of the purchasing countries was, but this is to be checked, Czech Republic. Poland did not participate in that. Then attacks of Russia on the critical infrastructure of energy power grids in autumn last year suspended this project, which was then later resumed. And it's, again, Ukraine is the exporter of energy. But my question, again, relates to this Polish-Ukrainian question. This sort of imbalance, a potential competition. What would be your arguments for Poland to make an use an advantage of that situation, while Poland, with the current government at least, but I believe it's a general consensus among the political elites, tries to build its own resource of clean energy or green energy with nuclear power plants and other investment. What's in it for us?
Answer is very simple. Come and invest. If Polish business decides to be isolated, it loses the game. And only expansion with attraction of additional financial technical resources can save the Poland. I think it's a very wrong approach to consider Ukraine as a competitor or rival. You should always consider Ukraine as a possibility for greater expansion of Polish business. You are the first on the border. You are among the biggest EU nation neighboring Ukraine. And I think the possibility, financial sustainability of Polish business right now is great. And for you to attract additional financial resources and with them to come to Ukraine, or it could be kind of trinity of Polish, US, German companies as a joint venture, building energy powers in, stations in Ukraine, or any other alternatives of clean energy production in Ukraine. And that's it. And I think it's the best solution, because if we consider the way to block Ukraine from something, what does it mean? Ukraine will be looking for another ways to export. And it means that definitely it could be anything except Russia, but still organically it's much better to cooperate. And in this case, when Ukraine, we were destroyed only when we were separated and isolated.
Let me stress here that there was never a question in Poland whether we should support Ukraine. It's quite obvious.
The thing I should have been said at the very beginning, that we are very grateful, first of all, to Poland and to all our Western allies standing by Ukraine in these challenging times. And we will always remember your support, your financial, military, and political assistance you provide every day. Because, yes, on one hand, we fight for all our freedom, of all of us, but frankly saying, first of all, we fight for our independence. And between choosing between two options, to wait and to see what will come out, or to help Ukraine, you have chosen the second option, and we are very grateful to you, and we will always remember that.
Volodymyr, let me ask yet another question related to the question of economy, but also democracy. Economy is not just resource and industry. This is about people. And we have a lot of people currently fighting and supporting the armed resistance against Russia in Ukraine. How should we look at the question of veterans? Because there will be plenty of war veterans. And I think you mentioned in our private conversation earlier, we should calculate it at 1 million even.
Concerning the veterans, thank God this war is different from previous war we had in 20th century. For example, Korean one or Vietnam one. When young people not having even graduated from the universities were taken to the battlefields without any profession or even understanding realities of life. I would say that more than half or maybe even 70% of Ukrainian army is at age of 30 plus. That means that they graduated from the universities, they have work experience in civil life, and then they joined the army. When I talk to them, their biggest threat, what to do after the war. And I think it would be great answer by government that, guys, we care about you. This is what we are doing together with our foreign partners and our allies. We establishing new jobs for you. You will be safe when you come back. We think about maybe not luxury ones as Monaco style or London style apartments or houses, but you will have the place to live and you will have the place to work. This is the best answer to all veterans coming back, and they desperately waiting for this positive answer. In case of our experience, we used to have not very much the same, but close to it situation after the collapse of Soviet Union. At that time, Ukrainian army was about 1 million. Somebody even say around 1.5, even 2 million people. And together with our US colleagues, we elaborated a lot of programs of adoption of these veterans or former soldiers to civil life. And situation has proven that it was a right approach, because many of them found themselves in business, in education, in civil NGOs and so on. This situation is different, of course, because they will come from the battle, come back from the battle. Many of them will be exhausted, many of them will be injured with a lot of psychological problems. So we need a longer rehabilitation period. But after, I believe that at least 90% of them will come back to normal civil life, because none of us want to become eternal soldiers, to fight until our last day. We would like to live normal civil life. And I hope that there is a clear understanding from the government. I hope that there is a clear understanding from our allies, because, you know, if there is a problem with former soldier, it will not always end with Ukraine. It might go further, because some of them will join some private armies all over the world. Some of them will simply become kind of gangster or something like that. It's also a big problem from any point of view. So I believe like a good state approach will tackle the situation, and it's possible to do. I would say that Renaissance of Ukraine will take much more resources than the finding new life for former soldiers and veterans.
Indeed, and I think this is a subject of our next discussion, which I sincerely hope will happen, will take place soon. Volodymyr, thank you very much for your for the conversation, for your remarks, for your ideas also that inspire and also explain the possibilities and the potential. We look beyond the war. We look definitely beyond this war effort, but you already mentioned we also look into opportunities during the wartime, which are critical and essential for ambitious investors in the future of Ukraine and in the future of Central Eastern Europe. So again, thank you for your time and thank you for your all your effort.
Thank you, Wojciech, and it's a great sympathy we have towards Poland, and it's great gratitude for all your efforts you do, because when we see that Polish flag waves beside Ukrainian one, I think this is the best answer to all our enemies, that we are together.